Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
You can't really enter into the fullness or experience the fullness of the Christian life on your own. It's not intended to be that way. It's intended that we experience it together. And so they prayed, of course, all of them undoubtedly, like all of us would do, they prayed by themselves. And thank God we do that. But they prayed together.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, in a message titled, The Jesus People. Now here's Pastor Brian.
As Jesus people, we should come together around the story of Jesus. That's what they did. But secondly, it says that they devoted themselves to fellowship. So to fellowship, this would be to the life of Jesus or to the Jesus lifestyle. You see, the story of Jesus wasn't something they merely ascribed to intellectually. For them, it was a way of life. It was something to be practiced. And so it says that they came together in fellowship. And the word fellowship, I mentioned it before, the Greek word, it's a word that's a little bit hard to translate into English in the sense that there's no one English word that's going to do it absolute justice. But it could also, it could be understood as the common life. Coming together in Christ, having a common life together. Now, here's something that's important to remember, that those who came together in this common life, they came from all different kinds of backgrounds. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but let's not forget that. You know, we sometimes in our modern context, we think of the Christian life being just for, you know, one certain type of person, maybe racially even. In some cases, some people think that, or some people think socially it's for one type of person, but that is not the case. But as they came together, because Jesus had the reputation, and it was a reality, that he went about doing good, so when they came together, that was part of their objective, to do good. So they came together, and it says that their lives were marked by bearing one another's burdens. They made sure that everybody was provided for and taken care of. We read here that no one considered anything to belong to themselves. They were no longer just looking out for themselves or for their own interest. Why was that the case? Because that wasn't the Jesus way. So they came together, and they sought to live out the Jesus lifestyle, that of doing good, that of helping, that of blessing, that of living for others rather than living for self. And this had a huge impact on the culture around them. You know, today we have not just the biblical account of what the Christians were like back in those days or how they lived, but we have various other accounts sometimes from Roman officials, sometimes from philosophers of the day. A lot of people talked among themselves about what the Christians looked like in the culture because the Christians were so different. They were extraordinarily different than the culture that they were in. And in these discussions that we find that have come down to us today from these ancient sources, we find that there was consistently, even if they disagreed with the Christians, which most of them did, but there was consistently the acknowledgement that they lived extraordinarily compassionate, loving, helpful lives. That's the common testimony that comes down to us. From the Roman writers, from the philosophers of the day, they saw that there was something about them, that they were living the Jesus lifestyle. So it was the Jesus story. It was the community life where they're living the Jesus lifestyle. the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship. It says, thirdly, that they were also breaking bread. And we pointed out before that breaking bread here is not simply a reference to breaking bread like having a meal. This, I think, is clearly a reference to what we commonly call the Lord's Supper. So this is something that they did as they gathered together. They regularly did this. And what they were doing is they were remembering the Jesus sacrifice. So you get the point? Do you see how everything is about Jesus? It's the Jesus story and it's the Jesus life. And then this gathering around and remembering the Jesus sacrifice. Because of course that was really the key part of the story. That Jesus, this man who was born of this Virgin Mary, that he was actually the Son of God who came from heaven to earth for the main reason of offering up his life as a sacrifice for sin, so the sins of mankind could be forgiven, so we could be reconciled to God and live in an eternal relationship with him. That's the main message. And all of that happened through the sacrifice that Jesus made. So as they would come together, part of what they did was they would rehearse the death and the resurrection of Jesus over and over again to one another through partaking of the bread and the cup. Because that's what happens when we share that meal together, the bread and the cup. What are we doing? Paul tells us that we are remembering the Lord's death until he comes. And so that's what the Jesus people do. We tell one another the Jesus story. And in this particular case, we actually, in a sense, we sort of act out the Jesus story. That's what's happening, because it was on the night that Jesus was betrayed, we read that he took bread and he broke it and he distributed it and he said, "Take this and eat it, all of you, for this is my body, which is broken for you." And after that, it says that he took the cup and he passed it out and he said, "Drink this, all of you, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood that is shed for the remission of sins." So when we come together and we share in that bread and the cup, what we're doing is we're rehearsing once again the sacrifice of Jesus. We're reminding ourselves of what he did for us. And notice that this is, it's important to see here that this is a collective experience. This is something that we do together. And it's also important to remember that we do this as every tribe and tongue and nation. You know, one of the amazing things about the gospel and about the Jesus story itself is that through Christ, all people are united together and made one. Now, human history is pretty much made up of divisions between peoples and conflicts that result from those divisions or conflicts that cause those divisions. And the world we live in today is pretty much just right on course with what human history has been like, right? We have division, we have tension, we have conflict, and it's sometimes socially based, sometimes it's racially based, sometimes it's politically based. But whatever the root cause of it, it's basically a fragmentation of the human family. Well, Jesus came and offered himself to bring us not only to God, but to bring us together as one. And so when we gather together around the Jesus sacrifice and you are partaking of that bread and I am partaking of that bread, then that's what brings us together. So regardless of other things that might tend to want to separate us, that's what makes us one. And I think this is such an important thing to recognize, especially in this time, because there's tons of division in the country, around the world. But you know, there's actually even division in the church because people are losing sight of Jesus. You know, if you lose sight of Jesus, if it's not really the Jesus story anymore, or, you know, but it becomes some other emphasis, then inevitably you're going to have a problem. And if you're no longer really looking to live the Jesus lifestyle, then that's going to create a problem too. And if we lose sight of the Jesus sacrifice that brings us all together collectively, that will actually result in the opposite of what God intends. So they came together around the Jesus sacrifice. They rehearsed it just as we do with the bread and the cup, and they gave thanks. In Colossians, Paul writes there, and he speaks of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and he speaks of doing whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, the Greek words, giving thanks, are the word Eucharist. And so when we come together to share in the Jesus sacrifice, it's a time where we are giving thanks. We're thanking God collectively for what he's done for us. And as we're singing the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs, it's like we're reminding one another. See, this is why it's so vitally important that we come together. Now, I'm a big fan of the internet and all that, you know, all of the benefits and blessings of it, you know, especially when it comes to the gospel getting out all around the world. But one of the downsides of the internet is how, you know, people think, well, you know, I don't really need to go to church anymore. I can just stay home and watch it online. Now, thank God for some people that is available because they actually are incapable of getting out. They're incapable of getting to church for, you know, different reasons. But I'm afraid that there are far too many people that they're perfectly capable to get out and to gather with God's people, but they choose not to because they can just sit and watch it online. Don't do that. God intends that we get together. Being together is a vital part of our Christian lives. And unless we're together, we can't really live the Jesus lifestyle too well, can we? How are we going to bear one another's burdens if we're not with one another? How are we going to know who's struggling? How are we going to know who's having a difficult time or a challenging time? Or how are we going to come alongside and help if we're not connected to people through fellowship? So this is what they did. They gathered and they gathered around the Jesus sacrifice. And then fourthly, the fourth thing it mentions here is the prayers. And I would call this the Jesus privilege. Do we know what an amazing privilege we have? The privilege of prayer. We have this privilege because of our relationship with Jesus. Remember, it was Jesus who taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." You see, it's through Jesus that God has become our Father. So it's through Jesus that we have this access to God. Now, we as Jesus people, we have guaranteed access to God. We have the promise that when we pray, God hears us. Paul the Apostle, speaking of that, he said this. He said, "In Christ we have boldness and access with confidence." And then he went on and he said, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul says it's through him that we have this confidence that I can access God, and therefore I bow my knee. Paul prays with confidence, knowing that he has entered into this privilege of being able to have access to God. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that we, through our great high priest, we can now come boldly before the throne of grace. So they gathered together, told the Jesus story to one another, lived out the Jesus lifestyle, experienced the Jesus sacrifice together, and exercised the Jesus privilege together by praying. Do we do that? Do we take advantage of that? Now, again, all of this is done collectively, as we see. One of the things that's happened in our Christian experience these days is the overemphasis on the individual part of it. Now, it's wonderful that we have an individual aspect to our relationship with God, right? I mean, of course, that's a huge thing. But it sometimes is emphasized to the point where we fail to recognize that I am, yes, individually loved by God, and I'm saved by Him as an individual person, and I have direct individual access to Him, but I am also part of a body. I'm part of a family. I'm part of something bigger than just me. And if I never connect with that, I am actually going to miss out on a huge part of what being a Christian is really all about. You can't really enter into the fullness or experience the fullness of the Christian life on your own. It's not intended to be that way. It's intended that we experience it together. And so they prayed, of course, all of them undoubtedly, like all of us would do, they prayed by themselves. And thank God we do that, and we can do that, and we ought to do that. But they prayed together. And they came together, and they understood that as we come together and exercise this privilege of prayer, God is listening to us. We're His people, and we're praying for one another. And again, when we're together, we know what to pray for one another. It's so important that we know what's happening in people's lives so we can pray, but if we're not together, we won't be able to even know how to pray. So this amazing privilege of prayer, if we forget that it is to also happen in the context of us gathering collectively, we can miss out on that privilege. But this is who they were. They were, as I said, they were the Jesus people telling the Jesus story, living the Jesus lifestyle, and experiencing the Jesus sacrifice and exercising the Jesus privilege. So here's the question that we all have to ask ourselves. Are we one of those kind of people? Do we see ourselves as the Jesus people? Or would other people look on and say, those are the Jesus people? And they might not agree with us, but they say, well, you know, they're the Jesus people and they're obsessed with the Jesus story. And, you know, they kind of live the Jesus lifestyle too. Is that how we are portraying ourselves? And really, unless we just genuinely are the Jesus people, we won't be portrayed as the Jesus people. We might be seen as religious people. We might be seen as self-righteous people. We might be seen as the religious right or something like that. But you know, if our focus is really on Jesus, if we're really more identified with the Jesus people, you know, people even on the outside, they see a difference. They understand that there's a distinction. And so are we the Jesus people? Do we love the Jesus story? Is this a story that I want to hear over and over, and I want to know more and more about it? Or is it something that I just say, oh yeah, I heard that story already. That's great. Now let's move on to something else. No, if we really understand who Jesus is, like C.S. Lewis said, you know, we can't have a moderate interest in it. If we really understand who Jesus is, we're going to want to know more and more and more about the story. You know, Paul says to the church in Rome, and think about this with me. He says to the church in Rome, so that means the believers in Rome, right? Paul says, I am so excited about coming to you and preaching the gospel to you. Now, here's the question. Well, why is Paul going to go preach the gospel to the church? Because the gospel, that's to be preached to the unbelievers so they can come into the church. The church already knows the gospel, presumably. But Paul didn't see it that way. Yes, they were believers. Yes, they had received the gospel in one sense. But Paul knows that there's so much more to the gospel that they need to still discover. Paul knows that they need to know not just the fact that Jesus you know, died for them on a cross and rose from the dead, but they need to know all the implications of that. And you see, that's what's happening as we gather around Jesus, and as we go over the Jesus story, we are learning more and more about all the full implications. You see, the Gospels give us the account of the life and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus, but there's so much more that is connected to it. And that's what the New Testament letters are about. They apply it. They tell us the significance of it. They tell us things like God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So that when Jesus, we read in Matthew, when Jesus is crucified, this is what's happening. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing our trespasses to us, not holding us accountable for our sins, but transferring our sins onto Jesus so we could be forgiven of our sins. And so these are the kinds of things that the Jesus story goes deeper and deeper into these things. Are we actively engaged as part of the Jesus community? Like I said a minute ago, you're not intended to live your life as a Christian independent of other believers. You have to be engaged. Are we part of the Jesus community? Look at the things that it says here and think about how could this even happen? Of course, it couldn't happen if you just sought to go alone in your Christian life. We read here about all who believed were together. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions or goods, divided them among all as anyone had need, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity in heart, praising God. See, it's a family. And so that's why we encourage you to engage, to be involved. It's wonderful that you're here on Sundays, but there's other gatherings that are important to be a part of. And so are we actively engaged as part of the Jesus community? Do we delight in remembering the Jesus sacrifice? Do we look forward to those opportunities where I can just go and I can just think about what the Lord did for me? Now, I know it's a busy, crazy world that we live in. And I know there are a billion distractions for all of us, but you know, there comes a time and a place where we've got to shut stuff out and we have to just sit and think about the Lord. And one of the great things to think on is what he's done for us. And you know, that's why we take the first Wednesday of every month and we just set it aside just for that very purpose. We set it aside just to focus on the sacrifice of Jesus. And to think about it and to sing with one another about it and to pray it into our lives, because that's what Jesus people do. And then, are we taking advantage of the Jesus privilege? Are we praying with the people of Jesus for the kingdom of Jesus to come in all places in our lives, in the church and in the world where it is excluded? And if we're not doing this stuff, then there's two possible things. Either we've just never had an experience ourselves that would bring us to this place where we just see Jesus as so magnificent that we can't do anything but be a Jesus person. Or we have had that experience, but we have forgotten about how profound it actually was. So it's one of those two things. These people that we're reading about here, they had an experience that brought them to this place. See, something profound happened in each one of them that caused them to be part of this thing that we're reading about here. Now, remember the context. These people that we're reading about who did this, who devoted themselves to this, these people were not from Jerusalem, at least the majority of them. They were from all over the world.
For the month of November, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Answers to Prayer. Be inspired by the joy of answered prayer from the narratives of George Mueller. Read about God's work of conversion, revival, and provision, and how the same God can answer your prayers today. The book, Answers to Prayer by George Mueller, is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbrodesen.uk, where you can find more resources or sign up for Pastor Brian's free weekly email devotional. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Acts. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.